the compound annual growth rate from 2014 to 2015 on the buy and hold is somewhere around 55%. However, if you were trading just simply based off the moving average, if it's above that, you're holding it, below it, you're holding cash. The compound annual growth rate actually jumps up to 81% per year. So 55 to 81, as you can imagine, is a tremendous improvement, you know, on the growth of your overall portfolio. And you go from a 75 to 80% drawdown to a 44% drawdown.
Welcome to the Bitcoin Playbook, where we discuss proven strategies for using Bitcoin in your business. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Mitch Moore, who's been on the show in the past. He's the co-founder and CEO of Strong Wealth, and today we'll be discussing his new investment strategy called Fluvius. We're going to get to our interview with Mitch right after this.
Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with a Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes.
Mitch, welcome to the podcast.
Excited to be here, Josh. Thanks for having me.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Yep, let's do it.
Since you're a repeat guest, we're going to change up the first question a bit, and that is, what is the part of the Bitcoin rabbit hole you've been going down most recently?
To be honest, I've gotten to the point where I've stopped listening to all the Bitcoin podcasts and reading all the different books. But the most fascinating thing I'll share that I haven't gone down fully down the rabbit hole yet is just using mining for like in-home heating or heating a hot tub or a pool or stuff like that. At our local Bitcoin meetup, I can't remember if it was the last one or the one before it, but we were talking about, you know, how different guys at the meetup were utilizing miners to heat their homes and, you know, maybe their basements, their garage, stuff like that. So I just found that honestly fascinating to see the applications, you know, outside of just mining for Bitcoin, you know, how you can get some kind of second order benefits from mining as well. So I think it's pretty cool what people are doing in that realm.
Now, is there a business that does it locally, and or based off of those conversations, are there any accounts or businesses you know of that you would recommend people check out if they want to know more?
To be honest, no, I don't have any resources specifically. I know there's some guys up in Denver that do a lot of the mining stuff, but I can't remember their profiles off the top of my head. So,
for sure. Question number two is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Yeah, I can't remember what my answer was the first time around, but this time, you know, what I've been thinking about lately is how Bitcoin is actually less risky than individual stocks, or when you add Bitcoin into a portfolio, it actually lowers the overall risk of your portfolio. And I think that's just super counterintuitive to most people in traditional finance or, you know, investors today, because they see Bitcoin as, you know, super risky because it's volatile. And so we can go deeper into that if you want, but I wish that more people would understand how Bitcoin can actually remove some of the risks that inherently come with stocks, you know, bonds, or even, you know, gold and other assets. So, yeah.
I'm sure we'll get into that further on in the interview, but it is one of those things I've talked with people recently about that very thing, and there's some cool tools to be able to see some of that. I'm sure that you can provide some of that to clients as well. Question number three, you said you're sort of off of the podcast and Bitcoin book trail now, but question number three is, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Yeah, so there's really two books that I recommend most often. One is Thank God for Bitcoin, because I think it's just amazing. You know, me being a person of faith, I love seeing the parallels between Bitcoin as a monetary system and how that aligns with, you know, what the Bible lays out, you know, as far as how we should live in life. And so how, you know, our current monetary system can just distort incentives, if you will, and easily lead to people idolizing money over everything else, you know, in our world. And Bitcoin could fundamentally reshape that if it were to, you know, become the monetary system that we use in the future. So that's the one that I most often recommend. And then what I found most enlightening when I first started my Bitcoin journey was actually the fiat standard by Saif Edeen. So I know that the Bitcoin standard is often the one that is most talked about, but for me, it was the fiat standard to understand what the problem currently is before I could fully wrap my mind around how Bitcoin is actually a solution to that.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you and your work at Strong Wealth recently?
Yeah, so let's see. I mean, a useful tool that I've used recently. Honestly, we've been doing a lot of due diligence, you know, with this Fluvia strategy that we're going to talk about today. And so we've actually utilized some new software around portfolio backtesting. So one that's easily available for everybody to where you could play around with things is Portfolio Visualizer is the name of it. And so it's pretty fascinating what you're able to do to backtest, you know, investment strategies and see how they have performed over time. We'll get into this later, but one of the most mind-blowing stats for me was looking at a buy and hold strategy on Bitcoin versus applying a trade signal on Bitcoin at the 6-month moving average. So the numbers, the compound annual growth rate, the downside numbers were all just extremely better when you trade Bitcoin based on, you know, its current price relative to its 6-month moving average versus just buying and holding. So I think that'll probably ruffle some feathers, you know, of course, in the Bitcoin community. But that's just one tool that we've been relying on lately to do a lot of the due diligence around the strategy that I'll share later on.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to talk about that a little bit more. But let's go ahead and get to our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question first. And that is, as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
From my perspective, I'm going to stick to the same answer as my first episode, and that's why not. You know, a mental model that I like to use when thinking through trying new things is what's the worst possible outcome? And oftentimes, if we play out that thought process, the worst case scenario is not as bad as we think. So for me, for example, in starting this business, Strong Wealth, 3.5 years ago, that was something that I asked myself. You know, I had a W-2 job that was, you know, working at a big investment firm and, you know, could have continued to ride things out there and, you know, had stability, you know, over the course of COVID and, you know, everything that's happened over the last 4 years or so. But for me and in talking through it with myself of, OK, what's the worst case scenario? I came to the conclusion that I can just go back and get a job there. You know, if something weren't to go my way, I were to fail in this business. Thank God I haven't. But if I did, you know, I could very easily go back there and get a job. And so it's like I landed on the ultimate conclusion that my current scenario, my current circumstances were actually my worst case scenario if I took the leap to try try my hand at business. So I think that's a good perspective for people to take that have fear, you know, around the unknown, and just taking a chance maybe on themselves, you know, business opportunity, whatever it may be.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out. Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era.
If you are hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners.
So, Mitch, we're here today to talk about Strong Wealth, particularly a new investment strategy or approach that you guys have created, which is called Fluvius. But real quick, you know, listeners to this show who've been listening for a while will be very familiar with Strong Wealth. But for those who may just be tuning in for the first time, could you give us a quick overview of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm the founder of Strong Wealth. We're a registered investment advisor. So we're a wealth management company for Bitcoiners. So we offer financial planning services and investment management. You know, we cover the entire gamut with folks. You know, we have a great diagram that we love to show when people reach out, but we essentially cover, you know, cash flow, investing, taxes, estate planning. You know, for Bitcoiners, we're talking through custody implications. We're talking through retirement planning, you know, all of these pieces of the pie, if you will, that affect our financial situation. We are taking that approach, but with the spin of it being for Bitcoiners, not for maybe the more normies, if you will, of the world.
Yeah, perfect. And recently you've come out with this approach you're calling Fluvius. You may have shared some details of it, or at least your thought process earlier. And there's a whole, what is like, you know, 40 minutes to an hour long video on your profile. I'm sure they can get it on Strong Wealth's profile on X as well. But I think it'd be interesting to hear a little bit about it and some of what you guys have found, some considerations that people might be able to bring to their own wealth building journeys.
Yeah. So first we'll just start, you know, fundamentally, what is Fluvius? So it's an active, I will say dynamic, actually asset allocation strategy. So when most people think of an active trading strategy, they're thinking of individual stocks. That's normally right where we go is, okay, we're trying to identify which companies are going to outperform over whatever time frame you may have. Mm-hmm. For us, we approached it from a higher level, a more zoomed out level, if you will. So being financial planners, coming from the traditional finance world, we used to be the, you know, typical passive indexers. You know, we take a global, diversified, passive index approach to our investing, and we're kind of at the whims of the market, if you will. Whatever happens, happens. And when you sit across the table from your client and you're like, well, we've underperformed the S&P 500 for the last 3 to 5 years, whatever, and that's because of proper diversification. That was something that didn't really sit well with me or my business partner, Jacob. And so we worked to develop this strategy because it's a momentum-based strategy. So we're identifying areas of the market where there's strong momentum and a positive trend behind different asset classes. So this strategy incorporates Bitcoin alongside traditional assets, and we can actually manipulate the allocations to each of these asset classes. So we're taking a portfolio-level active management approach on, you know, on your investments. So we'll get into more of the details, of course, but I just wanted to give a high level view of kind of what it is. We can go into the presentation if you want. It can get long though, as you said, that previous hour long video, that everyone can go watch. They can get more details there for sure.
I think it'd be great to hit some of the high points. So, you know, maybe in a few moments you can bring up some of the slides, run through them. But yeah, I mean, if you want the full experience, for sure, there's a place to do that as well. But I was curious about a couple of things. First of all, the name Fluvius. once again, you cover that in your presentation, but maybe talk a little bit about that and sort of what it's describing.
Yeah, so it's the root for Fluvius. It's Latin for to flow. And so the idea behind that is, with this being a momentum-based strategy, Our ideal scenario is your assets are actually flowing to where the momentum is in the markets. So we're looking at historical performance of different asset classes. We're identifying which assets we should own, and then we're investing in them based on how they have performed most recently. So we expect that momentum that they've had in the recent performance period to actually continue into the future. And there's very strong research behind this in traditional assets, but obviously being Bitcoiners, we couldn't just do this with traditional assets without including Bitcoin. And so that was our primary spin on it is, okay, we're going to include Bitcoin as one of the asset classes alongside equities and commodities and fixed income, depending on which strategy you would like to use, you know, which stage of life you're in, you know, what may be the best fit. But, you know, for us, incorporating Bitcoin was critical, you know, to that strategy. And so we wanted to take, okay, there's a lot of research around this momentum-based strategy for traditional assets. Let's incorporate Bitcoin into it and let's see how it performs. Obviously, over a back test, it's going to look really good because Bitcoin has performed really good. But at the same time, all of us being Bitcoiners, we expect that to continue. So we're excited about it for sure.
So you mentioned various asset classes. Are there any that aren't included? Do you just focus on a few asset classes besides Bitcoin? And then how deep do you go as far as various funds within those asset classes?
Yeah, good question. So we have two primary default strategies. One is a three-sleeve strategy. So it's Bitcoin, equities, commodities. And then we have a four-sleeve strategy, which is Bitcoin, equities, commodities, and fixed income. So we start with equal weighted in those two strategies. So in the three-sleeve, it's a third, a third, a third between those three asset classes. And in the four-sleeve, it's a quarter each into those asset classes. And we actually rebalance back to those numbers on a monthly basis. So we're returning back to that third, you know, equal weight allocation in the three-sleeve. In the four-sleeve, we're returning back to that quarter allocation. So those are the asset classes that we're including. As far as how deep, you know, granular do we go, we are solely utilizing ETFs. So that's obviously a caveat with me saying Bitcoin. It's actually a Bitcoin ETF we're utilizing to gain the exposure to Bitcoin. We are, you know, hopefully talking with other custodians right now where we may be able to use spot Bitcoin in this, which obviously we would prefer. But for now, it is the Bitcoin ETFs. But also in the other strategies, we're utilizing ETFs. So in the equity sector, you know, and I can go into this actually, I think it'd be good to share this presentation for this because it'd be easier to follow probably for those who are listening on or watching on video. So I think this would again, be a good visual we can use for to give folks an idea of what we're talking about here. Because I know for me, if I can't see it, it's hard for me to follow what we're talking about. So as I said before, you know, we have a three-sleeve and a four-sleeve strategy. These are our defaults, but we can manipulate these allocations. And that's what's so awesome about this strategy as well, is it is customizable to the person, to the situation, whatever it may be. If they want higher Bitcoin, you know, allocation, smaller Bitcoin allocation, or any of these other asset classes, we can very easily do that. So like I said, we are composing this entirely of ETFs. So what we're doing is we're actually looking at, you know, a basket of ETFs for commodities, a basket of ETFs for equities and for fixed income. And then Bitcoin is straightforward. It's either Bitcoin or cash that we can hold in that sleeve. So we're not trying to get super specific again around, okay, what stocks are going to outperform? No, we're looking at different areas of the market that have that momentum behind them, and we're looking to allocate based on that previous trend and momentum. Mm-hmm. So does that answer your question around, you know, what specific investments we're utilizing?
Sure, at least the asset classes. And then I guess one additional thing would be, do you have multiple ETFs for these various asset classes? Like I'm guessing you have a preferred ETF for Bitcoin, but for commodities or for equities, how many different funds do you tend to diversify throughout when it comes to each of these?
Yeah. So that was something we had to do a lot of due diligence to figure out, you know, what ETFs should be included in this investable universe whenever we're considering, you know, what to actually own on a monthly basis. And so there's, you know, a balance that you have to strike with these strategies. If you include too many ETFs, you get a lot of noise within these strategies because you can get many ETFs and equities, for example, that are highly correlated. And so you may be over trading, but not actually getting outperformance. And so you have to find a balance to where it's not too little ETFs, to where you're not getting exposure to all of the different areas of the market that you like, or using too many to where you get that noise and you're kind of over trading within the strategy, leading to, you know, more trade execution slippage, more higher taxes, you know, all of those things. And so, you know, it can be anywhere from 6 to I think up to 15 or so in the equity sleeve ETFs that we're utilizing. So it's not just one, only in the Bitcoin sleeve. It's one we're utilizing FBTC, Fidelity's Bitcoin ETF, in that instance, because, you know, we appreciate that they are custodying the Bitcoin themselves and not using Coinbase. So that gives you an idea for how many ETFs, you know, that we're utilizing in each of these sleeves to, you know, as possible investments, I would say.
And is this primarily for retirement accounts? Because it seems like if you did this in a taxable account, it could get really expensive really fast if you're rebalancing multiple times per year.
Yeah. So initially we felt like it would be, you know, it is best in a retirement account because we are, you know, we do have that tax shelter. However, we started to run the numbers around the tax drag in a taxable account. And our best estimates that we're coming up with so far is anywhere around 2-3% on the compound annual growth rate. So that can be a significant drag over a long period of time. However, this strategy has significantly outperformed over the S&P 500 over the last 10 years. So even if you're getting, let's say, a 3% tax drag, I'll just go to the performance numbers here really quickly on this so we can see. I'll jump forward. So for example, on the three sleeve strategy from 2014 to 2025, January, this is a hypothetical back test. You know, we'll include all the disclosures that we need to in this. But as you can see, the S&P 500 compounded at 13.18% per year. Fluvius 3 was 35.62. So, okay, if we get a 3% tax drag on the compound annual growth rate, we're down to 32% CAGR, you know, at least over this time frame. So the beauty part about this strategy is, like, for example, let me go back to, you know, when we're talking about taxes here, Bitcoin specifically, it's a very simple decision on whether to hold Bitcoin or hold cash. So we apply a trend filter on Bitcoin, a moving average. That's this white line. So the white line is representative of Bitcoin's moving average. I won't share exactly what the, you know, time frame is on the moving average, but that's what we're applying. And then we have Bitcoin's actual price. So every Bitcoiner can recognize here 2020, 2021, and over on the right side is 2024. So with Bitcoin specifically, for example, you know, we're holding for a pretty long period, you know, over this trading strategy. So right here, we are buying when Bitcoin crosses over its moving average, and we're holding until it crosses back underneath the moving average. So for example, this is a buy signal on January 2023 with Bitcoin's price being at $23,000. And we've continued to hold until today, hypothetically, we'll say. We have actually rolled out this strategy since the beginning of January, so we have real-time results for Q1, which I can share as well. But, you know, that helps. And that's, it makes it, one, hard to calculate the exact tax drag, but it helps also make it more tax efficient, because if Bitcoin continues to stay above this moving average, we're just continuing to hold each given month. So, you know, we're not realizing taxes when we don't need to necessarily.
Well, I appreciate the overview here. Are there considerations that people should bring to the table if they're interested in working with Strong Wealth? For instance, is Fluvius the primary / only method you guys use? If someone wants to be more Bitcoin heavy, does that affect the equation at all? How do you work with different people who have different levels of interest or maybe risk tolerance when it comes to Bitcoin exposure?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, really what you're asking maybe is who is Effluvius for and in what scenarios maybe is it a good fit? So from our perspective, fundamentally, there's really two different perspectives we can view this strategy. One is from the Bitcoiner, one is from the non-Bitcoiner who wants Bitcoin included in their overall investment portfolio. So we'll just approach it from the Bitcoiner lens for now, because I know that's your primary audience. And that's primarily who we work with as well. We've gotten some people reach out recently that are interested in this, despite not being Bitcoiners or not owning any previously. But for us, we'd rather someone have an understanding of Bitcoin going into this. So first and foremost, I'll just say that we really have two different lenses that we view Bitcoin through, and that is savings Bitcoin and investment Bitcoin. So this is going to be a controversial opinion, you know, of course, in the Bitcoin space. But for us, when we are looking at our client situations, they may have their long-term cold storage Bitcoin that we're viewing as their savings. So we're not actually trading along with this strategy, you know, with their cold storage Bitcoin. They will have a portion that they're truly holding for, you know, 10, 20, 30, maybe forever, timeline where we are not moving that Bitcoin. But then there's an additional portion where we can actually apply this trading strategy and modulate the downside of Bitcoin. So we're not having to go through these 70, 80, 90% drawdowns with a large percentage of our wealth, but we're still getting the upside exposure, with Bitcoin. Like I mentioned earlier, if you just look at a simple backtest, you know, over this time frame around buying and holding Bitcoin versus trading on a 6-month simple moving average, the compound annual growth rate from 2014 to 2015 on the buy and hold is somewhere around 55%. Mm. However, if you were trading just simply based off the moving average, if it's above that, you're holding it. If it's below it, you're holding cash. You know, that's a very simple decision to make. There's no complex analysis involved there. The compound annual growth rate actually jumps up to 81% per year.
Wow.
So 55 to 81, as you can imagine, is a tremendous improvement, you know, on the growth of your overall portfolio. And you go from a 75 to 80% drawdown to a 44% drawdown. Mm-hmm. So we cut the, you know, we almost, you know, almost doubled, I'll say, you know, the upside performance and cut the downside in half just with making an unemotional decision around buying and holding, or around, you know, holding Bitcoin when it's above the moving average and selling when it's below. So there's benefits to actually applying a simple trading strategy to Bitcoin. Not saying you have to do it with all of your stack. We don't recommend that, and we don't push people into it. But for the folks where they may have cold storage, but then they also have retirement accounts, like you mentioned, and currently it's either, you know, if it's the Bitcoiner who's super hardcore, they may be holding all Bitcoin in there. But again, they don't really want to ride out the cycles again, especially if they could get better performance with less downside, you know, versus buying and holding Bitcoin. You know, so we can apply this strategy to, you know, those assets that are in those kind of retirement accounts, mm-hmm. those tax sheltered qualified accounts where they're not holding Bitcoin already. So, you know, we can get that improvement on just holding Bitcoin directly, or if they had, you know, index funds is usually what we also see. It's like, well, I don't really want a higher percentage allocation to Bitcoin because I don't want to deal with the volatility. So I'm just passively in the S&P 500. And it's like, well, once we show them the results of this strategy where, yes, we're including Bitcoin, but we're modulating the volatility and we're including other assets, you know, when you can compound at 35% a year versus 13, it's like it pretty much becomes a no-brainer, especially when the downside experience is the same or better with our Effluvius strategies versus just buying and holding 100% S&P 500.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So what has it been like whenever you talk with people who are not Bitcoiners, who come to you, they're interested, but they feel like Bitcoin might be a little extreme or scary for them and their desire to experience risk?
Yeah, great question. Maybe before I answer that, I'll address just another scenario that I just thought of, you know, that we're seeing this be a beautiful fit for is people entering retirement. Mm-hmm. And then I'll answer your question specifically. you know, we see either two sides of the coin, basically, of folks entering retirement. We may have the hardcore Bitcoiner that's 80-100% allocated to Bitcoin, but now they're going into living off the assets, and they don't, again, necessarily want to see a 70-80% drawdown on their overall wealth. Yet again, they've ridden out maybe two cycles already, and it's like, I'm going into living off of this money. I would rather have, you know, more peace at night, if you will. And so we see Fluvius being an amazing fit for that person, even if they're very heavily allocated now. We can actually bucket the assets to where, again, we're still holding Bitcoin for the long-term cold storage and the portion that they're willing to ride the cycles and just buy and hold. But then we have maybe have a short to medium-term bucket of assets that we're going to be living off of over the next 5+ years, and we're applying the Fluvius strategy to that portion of the money. And so we see that being an incredible fit because it protects against what's called sequence of returns risk in retirement, meaning we're not, you know, experiencing a 70-80% drawdown on our money and selling the assets. That can easily jeopardize a long-term retirement plan if we're spending way too much early on in a deep bear market or a sharp correction. And so we can apply this strategy to really smooth things out. We still get Bitcoin upside exposure, but when we're minimizing the downside and including the other assets, you know, it's a beautiful fit for that portion of the money. We've also seen it similarly with someone entering retirement and maybe they have 5-10% allocation to Bitcoin. They would like more, but, you know, they're uneasy with the volatility. Mm-hmm. And so we can kind of, you know, pseudo increase their Bitcoin allocation through Fluvius. So we can give them the upside exposure, but minimize the downside for them so they can still get more growth out of their money, allowing them to spend more in retirement, you know, have more peace, give more to their church or charity or whatever it may be, you know, buy the vacation home that they may have, but they're able to sleep better at night, not having a 40, 50 or more allocation to Bitcoin and riding down those sharp downturns that we've seen over the past few cycles. So those are two really good scenarios where we've seen this be a good fit for folks. To speak to your question on, you know, talking to people that are not Bitcoiners yet, we'll say, I will say we've only got a couple, and usually they have already convinced themselves that they want to include Bitcoin, you know, into their overall investment portfolio, whether that's in retirement or maybe they're pre-retirement. And so that helps us because if they come in convinced, okay, you know, I want to do this, then we just need to figure out to what extent. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you show someone a back test of, say, you know, a mostly equity portfolio with a 5-10% allocation to Bitcoin, and we're applying this downside protection that we have with Bitcoin, where we're going to cash when it's below its moving average, it really doesn't add much to the maximum drawdown of a portfolio. Or it may be actually better. You know, which is crazy to see sometimes because you don't expect it. But, you know, for example, you know, in the presentation where I briefly showed, you know, the S&P 500 drew down 23-24% over the last decade, whereas our Fluvius 3 strategy drew down 20%. I believe off the top of my head, it's less. I know that, I'll say. And so when you show someone this, it's like, well, that's what you're really worried about, especially in times, you know, like right now that we're in, is seeing my portfolio down 50%. That's really hard to stomach, especially for someone who doesn't have experience with Bitcoin's volatility. Mm-hmm. And so when I can show apples to apples, hey, here's, you know, what you would, your portfolio would look like in a drawdown in the S&P 500, let's say 100% equities versus including, you know, either 5, 10, whatever percent Bitcoin and applying this logic to it, it's usually a better downside experience with a lot more upside. And so, you know, can we say that that's going to happen into the future with 100% certainty? Of course not. But, you know, I would say it's reasonably likely at this stage in Bitcoin's growth and adoption. I think we still have a lot of upside potential there that could really benefit someone who's just all traditional assets at this point.
Yep. Perfect. Well, I feel like you've given a lot of people something to think about, whether you've ruffled feathers or maybe helped people who aren't Bitcoiners yet to at least consider Bitcoin for their portfolio. Before we finish up, do you have any final thoughts, things that we didn't get to touch on today, or just things you want to make sure you reiterate to listeners before we finish up today's interview?
You know, I just think the biggest thing is that, you know, your investment strategy doesn't have to be all or nothing. Mm-hmm. I find that with a lot of folks, it's either I have zero Bitcoin or you have to be 100%, 100% allocated to Bitcoin. You know, it's like you have to go to one extreme, and that's just not the case. You know, got people that we're talking to, I will say most people are not 100% allocated to Bitcoin, despite what it seems like on Bitcoin Twitter. And so I find that there's actually this like shame, if you will, with Bitcoiners. They reach out to a traditional financial planner and they get looked at like they're crazy because they have a, let's say, 40% allocation to Bitcoin, just for as an example. So the TradFi guys, like, you're an idiot, looks at them like they have three heads. And, you know, when they go to maybe their Bitcoin meetup or go look at Bitcoin Twitter to try to get another perspective from someone that understands Bitcoin, it's like, well, you're stupid for not being 100% allocated. What are you doing? Like, you still, there's a chair you're sitting on. Like, why are you sitting on that chair? You should be selling that and buying Bitcoin. And so I found that there's these large majority of people in the middle here where they really struggle to get solid financial advice from someone that actually understands their perspective, because they get almost looked at like they're crazy by both sides, and they can't find someone with a balanced approach who can really put feet in both camps, if you will, and help them think through what is going to be best, you know, for myself and my family at the end of the day.
Perfect. Well, where can people go if they want to find out more about you and Strong Wealth?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to our website, www.strongwealth.net, or you can check me out on Twitter. I guess it's X now. I still haven't converted to saying X, at Mitch D. Moore. And our YouTube is actually a great resource also that we're trying to build up. Same thing, at Mitch D. Moore. We have a lot of good resources, not only on Fluvius, but just, you know, around financial planning for Bitcoiners as well.
Perfect. Mitch, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Bitcoin Playbook. If you want to reach out to either me or Mitch, you can find those links down in the show notes. And be sure to check out the full Fluvius presentation down below as well. As always, keep building, keep growing. Until next time, keep living and leading well.